Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth.com/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. We're on Wednesday, hump day. All right, we're going to have some fun. We've got Congresswoman Lauren Boebert on the show. Yes, she has made an enormous impact in Washington. Almost every day, she's creating waves, challenging people, standing up for her values. She's a freshman with outsized, incredible reach in media reach and messaging. And we have her on the show today, so you better buckle your seatbelt. This is going to be a fun ride. Lots to talk about, lots of energy, lots of ideas. I've been talking about this a lot on this show. The future of the 2022 election won't be settled on personalities. It won't be settled on ballots. It won't be settled on anything but ideas. Americans are craving ideas that work. There are many of them that are working, were working, that have been reversed, and now we're seeing the impact of that today. I really want to talk to the Congresswoman about this. When President Trump left office on January 20th, there were three fairly stable parts of the American experience. The economy, even after COVID, was in pretty reliable shape. Gas prices were low. Unemployment was doing quite well given the magnitude of the pandemic's strike against American businesses. We had a stable border with record low illegal migration going on at the border, southern border. And, of course, we had a very stable Middle East. In fact, Arab Gulf states were making deals with Israel, the Abraham Accords, and we had all three of these extraordinary areas that often can be volatile. The economy is often volatile. The border can be volatile. The Middle East has always been volatile. And all three were in solid, good shape. And then Joe Biden came in and he enacted the very policies he said, listen, you got to give the man credit. He is doing exactly what he and Kamala Harris said they were going to do. But now, 3 or 4 months into the Biden presidency, we now see that elections do have consequences. Israel under attack with Hamas, by Hamas, and one of the gravest moments of security in Israel in several years, maybe going back to the 2014 war with Hamas, which, by the way, occurred on Obama's watch. And a lot of people say the problem there is we sent a mixed message. We've always said we stand against terrorism, but then we negotiate with Iran again. We open the door, and all of those who believe in terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism, terrorism against the civilians have been emboldened, and you see what happens in the Middle East, and it begins to derail. In the United States, gas prices up. All prices are up. Plus 4% inflation at an annual rate in the month of April. A big warning sign. People have been warning about this. Even Larry Summers, Clinton Treasury Secretary, liberal, was warning that the policies of Joe Biden, the Democratic Party, Janet Yellen, could very well tip this country toward a financial crisis. We're seeing that. If you went home last night and you were driving home, at least in Virginia, where I live, there were gas lines that were a half mile long, around the block twice. People waiting and panicking to get gas because of the cyber attack on a single pipeline in the United States. With all of our energy resources, the richness of our natural gas and gas, you would think that we wouldn't be so dependent on a single pipeline in America. And yet, if you looked out your car window driving home last night, you saw long lines, people panicked, energy prices going up. Gas prices now, I saw $3 to $3.50, depending where I drove as I came back from New York. Big jumps in gas prices. You know where that money comes from? Not coming from the U.S. government. It's coming out of your or my pocket. And so the economy, we missed a major jobs milestone last week. We way underperformed on jobs. The stay-at-home federal benefit increase is keeping people out of the marketplace. A lot of people worried about that. We're going to talk to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert about that. And then you've got a third crisis, the one at the border, which is extraordinary. Last night, it was announced that the number of illegal migrants who attempted to enter the United States was 178,000 last month, the most in two decades. High gas prices, rapidly growing inflation, unrest in the Middle East that had been stable for so long, and then a open border in crisis, overwhelmed customs, border, and patrol folks. In fact, you know, it's interesting. Take a look at the statement. There was one interesting thing in what the acting chief of the Customs Border Patrol person said last night. The acting chief said he used the word illegal migration continues to expand. He used the word illegal. Remember just a month ago, the Biden administration, the Homeland Security Department said, don't use the word illegal anymore. That's not what we're going to use. The CPP is defying that. They clearly called it illegal migration in their statement last night. Why? Because it is, and it's a crisis. And the people fighting it, CPB, are tired, they're worn, they're beaten down, and they know they didn't have to have this crisis. If there was better planning, better messaging, better policies, they saw in December what the Trump policy did at the border, and now they've seen what the Biden policy has created in just a few short months, a two-decade high in illegal migration, 4% inflation, gas lines that look like the Jimmy Carter gas lines of the 1970s. America is in crisis. The Biden presidency and its policies have spawned multiple crises, from the gas lines to Middle East rockets to border insecurity. All of that's occurred in a very short month, a few months, and it's a reminder that elections do have consequences. And to his credit, Joe Biden's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. In fact, he'd like to do more, except there are some in the Senate holding him back. S1, HR1, the election federalization bills, as Newt Gingrich likes to call them, the Corrupt Politicians Act, or acts, those haven't gotten through. But what he has gotten through has had consequence. And when you look out on this day, in the middle of May of 2021, almost four months into the Biden presidency, the consequences of the policies are real. People are seeing it in their wallet, in their security, in their outlook on life, in the inflation outlook that they have. This is a moment of enormous challenge and crisis in America. The Biden presidency has spawned and now must address the issues that we just talked about. Very important. We're going to talk to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert in just a second about that very important conversation to have with someone who really knows what's going on. All right, now, before we get there, I want to go back to a case I've been following all the way back to 2018. Many others have not followed it in a long time. But we know that John Durham has been looking at some aspects of the Clinton Foundation and whether an FBI investigation was squashed at the end of the Obama years, the Obama-Biden years. Very important to take a look at that. I think that's one piece of the puzzle. A second piece of the puzzle that we must look at on a regular basis is, did the IRS do anything to investigate the Clinton Foundation? Were they collaborating with the FBI in the alleged 2016 investigation? Well, there are two financial investigators. Their names are Larry Doyle and John Moynihan, very well-respected forensic financial investigators. Moynihan, I think, did a lot with the DEA and federal agencies, Doyle with, you know, big Wall Street firms. And they filed a whistleblower complaint back in 17 that became public in 18 through my reporting shortly before they appeared before a House committee and divulged they had filed a whistleblower complaint at the IRS alleging the Clinton Foundation and maybe its accountants and others were engaged in potential illegal acts or inappropriate acts, whatever you want to call them. That's what whistleblowers bring to light. And now, almost 3 years later, 4 years after they filed the complaint, 3 years after it became public, a U.S. tax court judge is involved in the case. In late April, he gave a ruling under seal that we've been able to get unsealed and made public. Just the News obtained this ruling by applying to the judge's chambers, by applying to the clerk of the U.S. tax court. And we got this April 22nd, 2020 ruling by Judge Gustafson of the U.S. tax court, in which he orders the IRS to reveal to him whether or not it had a criminal investigation of the Clinton Foundation open at some point. And in so doing, he cited a mysterious gap in the record, saying there is evidence that suggests there was a criminal investigation. The submissions to the court by the IRS, by its whistleblower office specifically, are inadequate, potentially misleading. And he remanded this whistleblower complaint back to the IRS and said, your whistleblowing office has an obligation to fill in this gap, to let us know, was there a criminal investigation of the Clinton Foundation? Was it prompted by anything these whistleblowers brought to light? Who was involved? How did it end? Why did it end? All of those questions must be brought back before the court. These whistleblowers have forced an extraordinary and unusual ruling by the tax court to get involved and say, I'm sending this back to the IRS because they haven't been straight with me. Some very cogent, powerful lines in the ruling today. If you had a chance to read it, you'd see right away really interesting sentiments by the judge. And I thought one of the most interesting quotes at the end of the ruling kind of got at the idea of where this may end up going. Obviously, the court can't insinuate itself and say you should keep investigating, can't order it to investigate. But at the very end of his ruling, I found this important language that this is Judge Gustafson of the U.S. Tax Court here in Washington. There are facts and information uniquely within the knowledge of the whistleblower office of the IRS that need to be considered in connection with the resolution of the petitioner's claim, the whistleblower's claim. This guy is Doyle and Moynihan, two respected guys. They testified in the House back in December 18. These are important, exclusive claims that have been made by these two whistleblowers. And the judge, who called it a gap in the records, remember gap, man, always brings back Rosemary Woods and the 19-minute gap in the Nixon tapes. There is a gap in the record, the administrative record that the IRS presented to the court when it tried to get the court to give a summary judgment, get rid of this case. The judge said, no, I'm not going there. I want answers. What did you do? Why did you do it? When did you do it? And was it in any way related to the whistleblower complaint that the whistleblowers, John Moynihan and Larry Doyle, present it to the IRS and then litigate it through the U.S. tax court? Keep an eye on this case. I think we may see forced into the public limelight details about what the IRS did or didn't do about the Clinton Foundation and all of its pay-to-play allegations, all of its alleged irregularities. Remember, a couple of years ago, when I was still at the Hill, I wrote a very important story that put into the public limelight, into the public knowledge, into the public state of debate, documents showing its own internal auditors had concerns about the Clinton Foundation going back to 08, as late as 13. They did a series of reforms. They said made things better. But the question is, did all those things that occurred before repairs were made, before pay to play was ended, if it was, I see evidence that continued on even after 2013. But if it did those things get repaired, was there any criminal or civil liability by the foundation's actions? We don't have that answer. I know John Durham's looking at it. I know Moynihan and Doyle and their whistleblower complaint make clear they think illegalities and inappropriate things occurred. The foundation denies it. I think this judge, Judge Gustafson, at the U.S. Tax Court here in Washington, D.C., may give us some final answers, some final clarity, open the door to understanding whether there should be or should have been or was denied accountability in the Clinton Foundation under the tax laws of this great country. All right, one last thing before we go to commercial break. When we come back, Lauren Boebert, very important interview coming up, our first time having her on the show. She obviously is a big champion of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. She's got a lot of laws she's introducing and ideas. She's brought energy and determination and a grit to a Republican caucus that at sometimes was a little wishy-washy over the years. That's a word you don't use when you talk to Lauren Boebert. She is not wishy-washy, determined, full of ideas, full of energy, takes no guff. Really interesting interview on the horizon here in just a few minutes. Now, one of the things we're going to have to ask her about is the breaking news that occurred about 9:20 this morning. That's right. The House Republican Caucus, led by Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader, stripped Liz Cheney of her leadership position. She was the number three person in the House GOP. She was the conference chair, the ideas woman in many respects. And she has been moved aside by a clear vote. Republicans do not want to be speaking with multiple voices as they go in to the 2022 election. Lynn Cheney's mistake was to let her feud and disagreements with the Republican, former President Donald Trump, eke into her job, eke into her persona, eke into her messaging. Republicans want a united front when they go into this next election, and they don't want any naysayers in their leadership. And Lynn Cheney was cut off, ended, kicked out, finished. She's no longer part of the Republican leadership, and she now faces a very real challenge in her home state of Wyoming about whether she'll even keep her House seat in 2022. Republicans looking to launch a major challenge to her. But a very important warning, and it goes back to something I once learned from former President George Herbert Walker Bush. I had the pleasure in 2011, 2012, I can't remember the exact year, it was toward the end of his career, his life, his extraordinary life in public service, president, CIA director, China ambassador, war hero, shot out of the sky. So many things he did, RNC chairman. But most importantly, I asked him once, and all the times you were with Ronald Reagan, what was one of the most sage advice, pieces of advice he gave you? And he always said, after, remember, Bush and Reagan had been bitter rivals during the 1980 Republican primary, and then they merged the party together. When Ronald Reagan won nomination, he picked his runner-up to be his vice president, sewing together the more conservative side that Ronald Reagan represented with George Bush, the more New England liberal side of the Republican Party, unified party. And I asked President Bush, well, you know, what was one of the more sage pieces of advice President Reagan gave you? And he said, never pull the pin of your hand grenade when you're in your own foxhole unless you quickly intend to throw it at the enemy. In other words, don't blow up your own. Don't let your personal disputes, your vindictive disputes, your disputes over personality policy, keep them in-house, keep them in the foxhole. Don't blow people up. Don't shoot your own team in the back. Don't wound them with a political grenade. And Lynn Cheney did not abide by that. Liz Cheney did not abide by that sage advice. She made her dispute with President Trump defining of her time as the number three Republican exactly what Republicans didn't want. They want a unified party. They want the conference chair to be focused on ideas, not personality disputes within the party. She was viewed as divisive, backwards-leaning, disengaged with her own membership, disengaged with the America First agenda that has clearly become the hallmark of the Republican Party today. Yes, Donald Trump changed the Republican Party. Love it, like it, whatever, hate it, whatever it is, you must acknowledge it. America First is the primary agenda of the Republican Party. Lynn Cheney was not on board with that. Was not on board with keeping her disputes private. She went public. She kicked up a lot of dirt, and now she is without a leadership job, and quite frankly, under great duress to win, even for a chance to win an opportunity to vie for her seat again in next year's election. There's going to be some major challengers. Big thing. We're going to talk to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert about that. She was a big critic of Liz Cheney. We're going to talk about that in a few seconds. But first, let's go to commercial break. When we come back, our exclusive interview with Congresswoman Lauren Boebert from the great state of Colorado. We'll be right back. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, somebody who's making a huge mark in Congress already, that congresswoman from the great state of Colorado, Lauren Boebert. Congresswoman, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John. It's great to be on with you.
You know, when we left the Trump presidency and you were just coming into Congress, there was this interesting dynamic. The places that were most stable, the economy, the Middle East, and the border. And now the border's a mess. The Israel and Middle East is a mess with Hamas attacking. And of course, our economy's got inflation and crises all about it, missing job numbers. What has happened in such a short period of time? What makes you most concerned about the approach that's caused all these crises?
Well, weak leadership is the cause of all of these crises. Everything that we're seeing from the crisis at the southern border, from our infrastructure being hacked, from what's going on in Israel. Hamas would have never tried this with a strong leader in the United States of America. Israel is our ally. And unfortunately, because we have weak leadership right now, they are paying the price for it.
You know, I saw one of your tweets in the last 24 hours. I think it really, really hit a mark in terms of the CIA. This is what the CIA should be doing, right? They should be letting us know about potential threats from hackers. They should be understanding when Hamas is moving to take action. You were very critical of the CIA, saying they're focused on the wrong thing, a woke agenda rather than intelligence. What's your assessment of the agency right now?
It's a joke. I mean, this is very clearly the fourth branch of government that the Democrats control. And this is as deep state as it gets, as establishment as it gets. And none of these people in these agencies actually look out for the best interests of the American people. It's all about progressing this very liberal agenda and putting this forward and then keeping close the people that they are indebted to and want to be here for the rest of their lives. This woke agenda that they've been promoting is destroying Americans and our livelihoods. We have real issues that need to be addressed and concerns that need to be problems that need to be solved. And we're not seeing that with Democrat leadership.
As you look out, today was a very big moment. We had the caucus meeting this morning. Liz Cheney's been bumped out. What message does this send to the Republican Party and, for that matter, to the Democratic Party about where Republicans are heading into 2022?
Well, Republicans are finally taking a stand and getting a backbone and removing people from leadership who do not promote American First agenda, the Trump policies. President Trump really pioneered the way for this new Republican Party, and he's very much the leader of the Republican Party. Folks here in D.C., it's very easy for them to get in this D.C. bubble and only listen to what's going on the Hill. But you have to go back to your district and hear from your people. And the people are still passionate about President Trump and everything that he did for our country. And they're wanting him to be back here because they know that there's still opportunity for him to lead this country into greatness.
As you look out, cancel culture has become one of the single biggest weapons of the left, and it occurs everywhere, business, Hollywood, entertainment, culture, media, you name it. How are Republicans going to fight back? What is the game plan for ending cancel culture, or is the alternative to create another ecosystem that doesn't have to touch Twitter, Facebook, and all the other things where cancel culture is ripe.
Well, unfortunately, the left doesn't believe in free speech. They only believe in allowing speech that is aligned with their narrow-minded political viewpoints, and that's not free speech. And we've been fighting this fight in America for years. Even look in Colorado, Jack Phillips was sued because he refused to bake and design a particular type of cake.
Right.
That's not freedom. That's fascism. And then what we've seen with big tech has gone too far. It's gone off the rails, and it's past time we take a stand. I support a repeal of Section 230. I support reining in big tech. And the reality is big tech targets conservatives every single day and acts as a partisan political operative. Who made Facebook and Twitter the arbiters of right and wrong?
Yeah, it is remarkable. And the intrusions in our life now are just, they're everywhere. You see them in every space. Do you see Republicans better armed going into 2022 to take on some of the issues that hampered them in the 2020 election, whether it's election integrity rules, cancel culture, unity within the party? Do you feel good about where the party's headed going into what's going to be a very pivotal election?
I do. And, you know, you don't need to look to leadership in the conference to see what the Republican Party is really doing. I when I go home, no one asks me who's leading the conference, you know, who's going to be the secretary of the conference.
Yep.
They ask who's leading on the issues. And, you know, I've been so encouraged since I've been here because there are so many people who truly are taking charge on issues. There's a lot that we are the tip of the spear on. And then my good friend Thomas Massey, who I co-chair the Second Amendment Caucus with,
right.
He's leading on Second Amendment issues. We have Congressman Chip Roy out of Texas leading on energy issues. And he has actually discharged my bill so we can force it to the floor for a vote. Nancy Pelosi, she controls the floor schedule. And this is our tool in the minority to actually get a Republican bill to the floor. I had my Protecting American Energy Jobs Act, and that reverses Biden's executive orders on our energy. And look what happened when this pipeline was hacked. We should not be in a state of emergency over one pipeline in the United States of America. I have a great alternative. Let's get the Keystone XL pipeline going. And so, you know, I'm happy to partner with Chip Roy and leading on energy issues. We have Andy Biggs, who's leading on the border. And I'm just so proud to have partnered with all of these members on this. And we won't always agree on tactics and on personalities, but as of Republicans, we should always unite around conservative policies. Every Republican knows when you campaign as a conservative, you win the election. But when you legislate as a conservative, the people win. The policies we ran on, tax cuts, deregulation, pro-life, pro-family, pro-American energy, border security, this is what should unite us, and this is what our conference chair should champion.
And a lot of people, in fact, I was with Newt Gingrich just a few days ago, and we were talking about how much similarity there is to 2021 in 1993 in terms of the Republicans going back to ideas. And you just ran through a lot of big ideas that you and others were championing. It seems as though ideas and policies and getting them done is what the American people are looking for. Is this kind of a 1993 heading into a revolution of 1994 moment for the Republican Party?
Absolutely. We need to take charge again. You know, just like Speaker Gingrich, you know, and the seats that we saw flipped with him, the amount of enthusiasm there was in the Republican Party because the issues that we were putting forward and the stand that we were taking, we're not bowing down to the cancel mob. We're not taking a back seat to this woke culture. We're enacting policies that actually help American issues. And this is how Americans win, when we put forth these policies and this agenda. And I can't wait to take the House back in 2022. So we can actually get something done for this country rather than just only explaining how these progressive policies that the Democrats are pushing are destroying our everyday life.
You've been a champion of the Second Amendment on every day I've ever seen you in action. And I think this election, there's a lot of people who, it's not being talked about in the media, but there's an enormous groundswell of people worried about the future of the Second Amendment and gun rights. Do you think that's a stealth issue that really surfaces in the 2022 election?
Unfortunately, it is. It shouldn't be. Here's the thing. Even when I campaigned, I didn't campaign on promising to secure Second Amendment rights. That was a given.
Right.
And that's what it should always be for the Republican Party. That should be a non-issue. No one should ever have to ask me if I'm going to protect their Second Amendment rights, if I'm going to protect their speech, protect their freedom of religion, or protect innocent babies in the womb. Those should not be questions that are ever asked of a Republican. That should be an absolute given. I support the Second Amendment, and I don't apologize for it. Americans are tired of seeing conservatives be the tired old politicians who talk about standing their ground, but they cave every time it really matters. Instead of just standing my ground, I'm actively fighting for something. I am fighting for gun rights, and by demonstrating my own personal commitment to live out my values, I am able to do more than just offer empty words. We are seeing these gun legislations come through, pass the House as quickly as possible. Thankfully, it does look like they are dead on arrival there in the Senate. But we have an out-of-control, unchecked executive branch right now that is threatening our complete Constitution with executive action. And this is not something that the American people should have to worry about. But Biden and his regime, they know that they can't get these gun laws passed through the Congress, so they are threatening executive order against the people.
Right.
And you know, we have states that are actually doing a really great job in passing constitutional carry, which shouldn't be something that we have to pass. But you know, I'm really proud of the states who have done that. But then you look at states like mine, like Colorado, and they are with a Democrat supermajority. They are going. They're passing multiple gun legislation that only infringe further on our Second Amendment rights, including right now that we were just testifying in committee yesterday. I was able to join them and speak to this. They're wanting to make give counties and cities and towns and special districts, like a water district, the ability to ban concealed carry in their jurisdiction, which is incredible. I can't even believe that we're having this conversation in Colorado, but that's where we are, and it's a really sad day for America, and that's why we have to take the majority back, because if we have true conservatives leading, this will not be an issue.
Oh, you see, you use the word cave, but I know one thing I'm certain of. Congressman Boebert is never going to cave. You've created that record already in your short time here in Washington. Congressman, I know you're very busy. I'll get you back to work. I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing ideas, and we'll be sure to get you back on soon.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Great to have you. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day. Hey folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. Folks, eat stress-free this spring. How? With Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's great for a busy person like me. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Why do I use Factor Meals? Well, it's real simple. I'm busy, but I want to eat healthy. And if it only takes you 2 minutes, I'm all in on healthy eating. And the best part is that Factor Meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you got to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I love asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the code justnews50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That code, one more time, is justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. What are you going to do? You're going to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's a great deal. One more time. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50. Use the promo code justnews50 for half off your first order. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. What a great interview with Congresswoman Boebert. A lot of ideas, a lot of energy, a lot of determination, a lot of grit. That's what defines her time in Congress. And there is a whole generation of these young Republican women, conservative women. They're champions of the First Amendment. They're champions of the Second Amendment. They're champions of police, champions of America First policy. And we're bringing them on this show, member by member, conversation by conversation, so you can get to meet them, to learn from them, and hear their ideas. A lot of the Democratic, quote-unquote, superstars are people who make news by being flamboyant, by being hateful, spiteful, cancel culture dominated. These young, new members of Congress that are coming out, whether it's Madison Cawthorn or Kat Kamrick or Lauren Boebert, Claudia Tenney, they're all these newer members. They're all coming out, and their focus is less on rhetoric and more on ideas, less on personal dispute, more on values. And as I go back, and I've covered Washington for a long time, this moment, as I said to Congresswoman Boebert, is a lot like 1993, where Republicans realized after getting their butt whooped in the 92 election, losing the White House just a few years after President Bush had had a 70-80% popularity rating after the Gulf War, they lost the White House. They were shocked. They didn't whine. They didn't complain. They didn't infight. They went and created the Contract with America, a clear set of ideas. And I think you see in this new generation of Republican women, Republican congressmen, a determination to go back to values, ideas, principles, less personality disputes. Leave that to the Democrats. Leave that to Liz Cheney, who's unemployed as a House GOP leader, at least. They want uniformity, ideas, everyone rowing in the same direction, everyone talking and singing from the same hymnal. And I think you heard that today from Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. Very grateful she was able to join our show. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up for the day. Tomorrow, we'll be back with a new edition of John Solomon Reports, a very fun guest, maybe some investigative news. Keep your eyes open. We may be breaking some news tonight. And until then, may God bless you, and may God bless this great country of America, as he always has. You've been listening to the John Solomon Reports podcast from Just the News. We're so grateful you have. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.